I got a friend here tonight. I got multiple friends here tonight. You're going to be hearing from them this week. But Pastor Mike Opelke is a really good friend of mine, and we talk regularly. And you heard from him this morning, and the anointing of God's on his life. And he looked at me a few moments ago during worship, and he said to me, "I want you to pray." He said, "Because I feel like I got one of those mandates from God, where somebody's got to hear this tonight. Like somebody's life depends on this tonight." And that's the kind of people I want to hang out with, that God knocks on the door of their heart and they come with a kingdom agenda. And so I want you right now to lay your hand over on your heart, and Pastor Micah's going to come. He's going to get ready to share with you. Father, right now, I thank you that my friend pastors thousands of people, and I thank you, God, that he's an influencer beyond even circles that he's probably aware of. I thank you, Father God, that you've put him among the spiritual elite of this day and this time. But God, the thing I thank you for the most is that he covets the anointing. He desperately desires to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. And God, tonight I believe you're going to use him in a supernatural way that coincidence will not be able to take the credit for. And God, when we get done, there will be a remnant on its face before you. And Lord, heaven will be coming down and hell will be pushed back. God, somebody's life depends on it tonight. So Lord, let your presence rule and reign in Jesus' name. This church said, amen.
Are you thankful for Jesus? Would you let Jesus know how much you love him tonight? It is so, so good to see you all. Thank you, Pastors Eric and Mandy. I shared it at all locations this morning, but I love your family. I love your church. Many of you I have got to know over the years, whether it was coming here or SciCon. Some of you are newer to me, but it is so good to see you guys, believing that this is going to be a great week for all of us. I wasn't sure this morning that my children, I have four kids, they are 22, 19, 14, and 12. I know that's weird names, but I'm just kidding. It reminded me when Pastor Eric was talking about going to camp and dating all the girls. It just reminded me, I've shared the joke before about little Johnny. He actually called 911, and 911 asked little Johnny, said, "What's your emergency?" And he said, "Two girls are fighting over me." And 911 was like, "So what's the emergency?" He's like, "The ugly one's winning." That's not funny, but thank God for life change that can come when Pastor Eric's sharing his story. But for all of us, we're believing that for you this week. But my three daughters, Brooklyn, Jalen, Eliana, they are here, and my son, Micaiah. And just so thankful. I wasn't fully aware this morning that all four of them were driving down from Ohio, and they showed up this afternoon, all four of them, and so I'm so glad that they are here. I'm glad that you are here, and just believing that God is going to speak to us tonight. Here's what I would ask, just in the next 20 or 30 minutes, sometimes in a moment like this, especially potentially even night one, but sometimes you can almost just get caught up in, I've watched it before. We just came from a camp not long ago, and in the back during worship, there's about 400 students there, and I'm watching the students, and sometimes it just takes one or two, but the one guy, he kept like tapping and hitting and elbowing people, and before you know it, it's four or five, and then it's a group of eight, and they're just missing moments, and I'm just asking in the next 20 or 30 minutes that you would block out all of that, block out the distractions, and just say, "God, you know what? We want to fully and wholeheartedly just open up our hearts and receive from God what he has tonight." How many want to hear from God tonight? You would love for God to speak to you on night one. I heard the joke about the 12-year-old boy. He's sitting on a park bench, and he's eating a whole bag of those little candy bars. You know what I'm talking about, those little candy bars? What's your favorite candy bar? This this 12-year-old is sitting on a park bench and he's eating a whole bag of those little candy bars. There's an older man who's sitting next to him, and he leans over to this 12-year-old and he said, "You know, eating that many chocolate bars is bad for you." The little boy looked over and said, "Well, my great-grandfather lived to be 98 years old." And the man said, "And he ate that much chocolate?" The little boy said, "No, but he did mind his own business." But I want to encourage you tonight, just block out sometimes all of the stuff around you in your row, people saying things and doing things. I'm just asking you in this holy moment that you would block out those distractions and let God speak to you. So I want to pray for that tonight. We're opening this night one of Revive. I just want to talk to you on this subject, this room. Can we say this room? And that room. Can we say it again? This room and that room. And let's pray. God, I thank you so much for every one of these young leaders. As a dad, I have great joy in being a dad. I love my children. For my entire ministry, I've had such a passion for young leaders. And so when I watch them both on the stage and around this room, God, I'm so proud of them. I think there's about 115 that the CAP allowed to come this year. And I pray that every one of them in the next few moments would just open up their hearts. You would speak to them. I pray you would do something special that I do believe could change their life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The word revive, there's several different definitions, but I want to share a couple of them with you. It says to restore to consciousness or life, to restore from a depressed, inactive, or unused state, to bring back. If we had time to talk tonight, you and I, about the power of relationships, I've often said that life moves at the speed of relationships, and what I mean by that is it seems like that when God wants to do something great in someone's life, he often will use a relationship. But it's also true that when the enemy tries to distract or destroy someone in life, he will often try to come in through a relationship. Relationships really matter. I have one text that I would like to read tonight and draw a few points from this concept of this room and that room. It's in Judges 16. I want to begin to read at verse number 4. It says, later Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who was from Sorek Valley. The rulers of the Philistines went to Delilah and said, "We want to know what makes Samson so strong. Try to trick him." Everyone say trick him. Try to trick him. The King James Version says try to entice him. "Then we will know how to capture him and tie him up. Then we will be able to control him. And if you do this, each of us will give you 28 pounds of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me why you're so strong. How could someone tie you up and make you helpless?" Samson answered, "Someone would have to tie me up with 7 fresh new bowstrings. If someone did that, I would be as weak as any other man." The rulers of the Philistines brought 7 fresh new bowstrings to Delilah, and she tied Samson with the bowstrings. I've preached this passage before, but never seen it so passionate as I did just the last few days, asking God what he would have you to hear on night one. This was one of the main things that stood out to me. Some men were hiding in the next room. Some men were hiding in the next room. If I told you right now, someone that could literally, they're going to gouge his eyes out, they're going to take him hostage, they're going to put him at a mill. If I told you that there was someone in the next room over that wanted to do that to you, can you imagine the frenzy that we could send even in this room tonight if you knew that your enemy was potentially that close? Delilah said to Samson, "Samson, the Philistine men are going to capture you," but he easily broke the bowstrings. They snapped. like a string when it comes too close to a flame. The Philistines did not find out the secret of Samson's strength. And then Delilah said to Samson, "You lied to me. You made me look foolish. Please tell me the truth. How could someone tie you up?" And Samson said, "Someone would have to tie me up with new ropes. They would have to tie me with ropes that have not been used before. If someone did that, I would become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took some new ropes and tied up Samson. Some men were hiding in the next room. Delilah came out to him, "Samson, the Philistine men are going to capture you," but he broke the ropes easily as if they were threads. I want you to notice these next handful of verses. Delilah said to Samson, "You lied to me again. You made me look foolish." Samson's then going to say, "If you would weave 7 braids of my hair." Verse 14, later Samson went to sleep. Delilah is going to follow through with the weaving. Verse 15, Delilah said to Samson, "How can you say I love you? You don't even trust me." They go back and forth with this, and verse 16 is an important verse when it says, she kept bothering Samson day after day. Do you see that? She kept bothering Samson day after day. And he got so tired of her asking him about this secret, he felt like he was going to die. Samson, you have no idea. Finally, Samson told Delilah everything. He said, "I've never had my hair cut. I was dedicated to God before I was born. If someone shaved my head, I would lose my strength. I'd become weak as any other man." Delilah, I know it's a lengthy story. I just want you to see the context of it. Delilah saw that Samson had told her a secret. She sent a message to the rulers of the Philistines and said, "Come back again. Samson told me everything." They came back, brought the money they had promised. Delilah got Samson to go to sleep with his head lying in her lap. She called the man to shave off the 7 braids of Samson's hair. In this way, she made him weak and the strength left him. Delilah called out to him, "Samson, the Philistine men are going to capture you." He woke up and thought, notice these final couple of verses. He woke up and he thought, "I will escape as I did before and free myself." But Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. The Philistine men captured Samson. They tore out his eyes, took him to the city of Gaza, and they put chains on him to keep him from running away. They put him in prison, made him work grinding grain, but his hair began to grow again. The next few moments, I want to share with you what I believe the Holy Spirit gave to me. In a simplistic way, I want you to see, first and foremost, if you've never heard the story of Samson, or if you've never really read the stories in Scripture about these judges, Samson is a very strong man. He's a very powerful man. He's what the Bible would call a judge. It's not a judge like you and I know, like a judge in a courtroom. It's actually someone who God used for delivering, for saving, for conquering. And Samson had made a vow. They called it a Nazarite vow. In the Hebrew, the word there that's used is the word separation. Everyone say separation. And because of this separation, Samson has this supernatural strength. This strength, the first word that I want you to look at tonight, this strength is going to come from what I would call proximity. Proximity. Simply meaning that Samson's strength is going to depend on him making sure that he prioritizes this separation. That there are there's certain things, there's certain people, there's certain places that Samson's strength is going to depend on him making sure that proximity is a priority. If we were to talk tonight on this first night, I'm 49 years old. Been a long time since I was in camp, sitting in your chair, your seat. I would just tell you over the years that proximity is so much more powerful than most people even realize. Proximity could be something where when you hang around the right person, I have watched young people flourish. I have watched them grow. I have watched giftings and talents come out of their lives. I've watched the anointing of God show up simply because they got close. They got close to the anointing and the things of God. I've watched other young people that fell off, that ended up losing their way because they got around the wrong person. Again, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I just want you to understand that there is power in proximity. Somewhere along the line, when you read it with me tonight, the scripture said that Samson was separated or anointed or called or purposed before he's even born. Samson, there are people that were shaping you. There are people that were pouring into you long before you ever became this great man of strength. But somewhere, Samson loses his understanding of proximity. We're going to end up reading over and over and over again in those scriptures where we are told Samson, the person who is trying to take you out, they are in the next room. And the person that they are using to destroy you, they're in this room. This room and that room. As I was driving down here, I looked first at my own vehicle because it just continued the last 48 hours just to speak to my own spirit that you have mirrors. This comes off of a truck. I love my old truck. They're like 250,000 miles on them. I love my old truck, but this mirror comes off of a truck. Whether you're driving a van or an SUV or a car, a lot of times you will see, especially some of the older cars, they will have a mirror, and on the mirror it will say, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. That's what it says. Objects that are showing up in this mirror, they're actually even closer than what they appear. My final few minutes tonight, I want to speak to someone on this first night that thinks that your enemy could be so far away. Micah, I'm fine till I'm 18. I'm fine till I'm 21. It's not a big deal right now. I know at school or in the locker room or on the team, but I just want to speak to someone's spirit tonight that there are some enemies in your life that are closer than what they appear. They're actually not as far out as what you think, and they're not as far away as what you think. It's possible that the enemy could be in the very next room over. Everyone say proximity. When you look at proximity in this story, Samson is going to begin to succumb because he underestimates proximity. He underestimates that this strength comes from being surrounded by people who value the things of God. From a young age, Samson was told, don't do this and don't go there. He was told things like, don't get drunk and value this and prioritize this. But there's something about the story of Samson that he distances himself from the people of positive influence. And he begins to succumb to the people who are ultimately going to gouge, to tear out his eyes, to put him in chains. And much of this story could go back to misunderstanding and underestimating proximity. The second thing that I see, and we'll close here in the next few moments, the second thing that I see is the word pressure. Pressure. We could spend 20 minutes talking about this if we had time. Pressure. We see proximity. Now we're going to see pressure. The Bible says in Judges 16:16, and it came to pass, this is the King James Version, when she pressed him daily. She pressed him daily. Pressure is powerful. If you drove in a vehicle here tonight, the tire pressure mattered. You may not have thought about it, but driving here tonight, the very pressure in your tire mattered. If you were to fly a plane, just got back from a trip recently, they're going to remind you every time on a flight about the cabin pressure. Many of you, if you have any family that they work in the medical field, when someone gets dizzy or wobbly or maybe they're not feeling the greatest, one of the first things they'll say is, hey, we need to check your blood pressure. Pressure affects weather. There are in your body, your fingers, behind your ears, different places are what they call pressure points. We have a word that floats around student ministry a lot of times in a lot of churches. People will talk about peer pressure. Pressure is a powerful thing. You have strong Samson who is going to end up succumbing, losing his strength, because this woman pressures him day after day after day after day. I read just last night that 85% of students, this was a secular study. This is not a camp in Campbellsville. Last night I'm reading a secular study on students who say, do you feel pressured sexually, addictions and habits, social media, all of these things. You know the trend that we're on right now, your age? Social media alone, you are going to give about 7 to 10 years of your lifetime to social media. The amount of time people right now are spending on their phones, in a lifetime, they're going to give 7 to 10 potentially years to that. There are so many things. It may not be tying up Samson with ropes and chains. There are a lot of things. Sin will tie you up. Discouragement, depression will tie you up. Social media will tie you up. There's a lot of things that will tie you up. But in this study last night when I'm reading, they're asking students like you, secular study, how many of you feel pressure? You know how many said yes? 85%. 85% of students said, I feel pressured. Samson is strong. Samson has unbelievable victories in his life. Samson's going to lose his eyes, and he's going to grind at a mill because there were some objects in his life that was closer than what they appeared. And he's going to lose his strength because he got too close and he gave in to the pressure. So we get ready to close tonight. Maybe the saddest part of the story is not just the proximity and the pressure, but for me, I think maybe the saddest part of the story for Samson is what I would call presumption. Can we say that word together? Presumption. The Bible says that Samson, they're going through this vines and bowstrings and trying to hold him hostage. And he jumps up and he breaks it off and They're the next room over, but he's going to handle them and he's going to defend himself and he, but we keep going back and forth. We were reading a lot of verses, right? And it kept saying that he would overcome and he would, and then he would. And then the Bible says, after his head is shaved, his hair is cut, the Bible says that Samson said, I will escape like I did before. Now, this might be the most powerful point that I felt to share with you the last 48 hours. So if you're taking notes or if you're just opening up your heart to say, God, speak to me, this was probably the most powerful thing that I felt for someone. It's dangerous to start thinking that you will always get out of everything. It's dangerous to start thinking that you will always get out of everything. Pastor Micah, I can start that and put it down like nothing. I can try it, smoke it, go there, do it, and when I want to let it go, I let it go. I can get around them, I can act, I can participate. It's no big deal, Micah. I can mess around. Every other time, I always am able to come out of this. But it's very dangerous in my life and in your life to start thinking that the power's permanent and to start thinking that I will get out of this just like I always have. The Bible says that Samson falls into this trap of assumption or presumption, starting to think it'll be okay, it's not a big deal, I've been down this road before. It's as if he gets lax or loose or just continues to give the leeway. Here's one thing that I would like you to think of as we wrap up the message, that if we looked at Samson's lost strength, Pastor Eric, even statistics and numbers and life stories, a lot of times, Pastor Justin, a story like Samson's doesn't happen in one big step. Sin doesn't always show up in your life in one big step. A lot of times, it's the little steps. And before you know it, Samson with proximity and the pressure, Samson with presumption, and now we're at a mill grinding and we're like, how in the world did this happen? Samson, it happened. Because you allowed Satan to have little steps. I read recently, I believe they have a picture on the screen of Niagara Falls. I'm born and raised in Canada, and I love to go to Niagara Falls. One of my favorite places to go. But I read recently, this is a true story. The doctor's name was Dr. Sockman. And Dr. Sockman did a study of birds that go over the falls and die. Birds that literally are carried over Niagara Falls to their death. And they did a study to try to figure out, how is this happening? How are these birds being pulled over to their destruction, their demise? This is what Dr. Sockman said in his study. He said, what we found, that when there was cold weather, snow, ice, storms, inclement, when those things happen, that birds were coming down. He used the word dip for a drink. But when they were coming down, they would dip for a drink, and they would get a little bit of this water turning cold ice on their wings. But then they would dip for another drink, and they would dip for another drink, dip for another drink. And Dr. Sockman said that then they would realize at one point, this doesn't work like it was working before. And one of the times when they would dip for a drink, they didn't come back up again. I just wonder tonight on this first night of camp, what are the things in your life that maybe you've been thinking, Micah, it's not even a big deal. I did it, I said it, I went, it's not even doing anything to me. Now I know you're not jumping up on the first night of camp, I'm breaking chains and I'm breaking ropes and look at me, Samson. I know you're not doing that. You're a 15-year-old, you're an 18-year-old, you're a 12-year-old sitting here, and I know it's not chains and ropes and you're not a bird at Niagara Falls. But I just wonder if there's someone who's been continuing to dip for a drink, that they would say, Pastor Micah, it's not even doing anything to me. But you have no idea that there's stuff building up in your life. There's things that are affecting you that this week we need to ask God, God, get these things off of my life and out of my life. Get these things away from me. I'm allowing objects to get closer than what they even appear. This room and that room. And I can't have those people, those places in my life. Because one of these times, I could take a dip for a drink. And before I know it, I get pulled into something that I never dreamed would happen in my life. The good news is, in this story, I read it when I tell you, I think it's sad when you're like, Samson, why did you stop caring about proximity? I think that's sad because I love students. Wednesday night, we probably had 50 or 60 students and college-age students at our house. I just spoke to our students at their camp. I could walk row to row and chair to chair. I love young leaders, students. I know some of you, life's not easy. I know you're going through a lot. I know how much I love you. I believe your pastors and leaders love you. And then at the top of all of that, how much God loves you. But if we were to talk on this first night, we were to talk about Samson, why are you not caring about proximity? If I was just to go row to row, these amazing young ladies right here, like, why are you not caring about proximity, Samson? Don't you realize that people can get in the room and they can get in the next room, and before you know it, there are people, objects closer than and what they even appear? Other students in the room, it wouldn't just be proximity. If we were to talk and we were to connect, it wouldn't just be proximity. I think some of us could talk about pressure. That you would say, Pastor Micah, if you knew the pressure going on in my life, if you knew the bullying, maybe you'd be part of the 85%. If you knew the relationship I'm in, if you knew my parents' divorce, if you knew what's going on at home, if you knew, you could probably tell me all kinds of things about pressure. For others, this is why I said it's a really sensitive one and maybe even scary, is presumption. That we could start thinking, just because I got out of this 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 2 years ago, Pastor Mike, I'm going to get out of it again. Like I said, I think it's dangerous sometimes when we underestimate this ongoing, I'm not going to change, I have time, I'll get it one day. And then some people realize after messing around and messing around and messing around, they go down for one more drink, just one more dip for a drink, and they realize I shouldn't have kept presuming. Samson ends up at this mill, grinding, no eyes, they're gouged out, taken out. And the Bible says, but his hair began growing again. If you've read the whole story, the Bible says there comes a day where a young man actually leads him out, and they're trying to lead him to the room, and Samson says, are there any pillars? Is there a place you could take me? I mean, you gotta think, What's his last memory before his eyes get taken out? This room and that room. After this room and that room, it's this. But now he finds himself in another room, unable to really even see what's going on. But he said, is there any pillars you could take me to? Just lean me up against them? The Bible says in that time frame, as Herod been growing again, Samson ends up between pillars. The Bible said he pushes these pillars in all of that strength that had been renewing, restoring, if you would, reviving. That's our theme this week, reviving. The Bible said he had his greatest victory ever in that room. My hope for you tonight is if there's some things that you've been letting slip in your life, that proximity, that pressure, that presumption, how awesome would it be? I know you're not walking like this. Like, where's the altar at? Where can I pray at? Is there a place I can kneel here? Is there a place that I could repent of my sin? Is there a place that you could just show me? I want the anointing back. I want the power of God in my life back. I know you're not necessarily doing that, but how awesome would it be if there was a young man or a young woman that you know, Samson, you've gotten off track. You know that you're dabbling with things. You know you're getting involved with things you shouldn't. You know there's some things building up on your wings, but the love of God and the grace of God is calling someone on this first night. Will you just lead me back to the power of God? Will you lead me back to the anointing of God? It had been a long time. It had been a long time since Samson felt that strength. It had been a long time since Samson had felt that anointing, but it came back. And I would love nothing more than on this Sunday night for it to come back. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, let someone's passion come back. Let someone's purpose come back. Let the call of God come back. Let someone's desire for wholeness and holiness come back. Start on this very first night of revive. Come on, God, revive someone tonight. Would you close your eyes and give me the opportunity to pray for you. If you would, just eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe you would say, God, I want to feel your anointing again in my life. I want to feel your spirit again in my life. It's been a few months, God. Maybe some of you would say, I've not really felt it since camp last year. For Samson, it had been a while. How long has it been for you? You may tell me, Pastor Micah, 3 years ago at Sycon or 5 years ago. But I'm asking you, young lady, would you reach out to God and find a place to pray tonight? Would you find an altar tonight, young man? And maybe you say, Pastor Micah, that pressure and that proximity, I want to tell you that now we could close with God's presence. What if this night was for you to find your way back to his presence and his purpose in your life? So with eyes closed, I don't know who I drove here for, but it's worth it if there's one. If there was one student leader, if there was one young man or one young woman that would say, I know I've gotten sidetracked in my life, but on this very first night, I want to tell God, I want to come back. I want to come back. Everything you have for me, God, I want you to revive it. I'm asking you for the third time if you would keep every eye closed in the room. And I want to ask if you are the only one. You don't need your friends to come with you. You don't need a group to come with you. That's great when it happens. But your heart on this very first night is to say, God, if I was the only one in the room, I want to tell you right at the start, I want to be revived. I want to be part of the remnant. I don't want to live without the anointing. And if that's you tonight, I just want you to come and join me here at the front. If you would say, I know there's some things in my life that have slipped and I don't want it. I want to get back right with God. Thank you for coming. I want my heart right with God. I want to live out the plan of God in my life. Thank you for coming. I want to live out the purpose of God in my life. Those of you that are still back in the room, if you would just stand all over the room, we're going to begin to sing out to God. But would you find a place to pray somewhere in this room, at the altar, in your chair, where you're at right now? Thank you for coming. Tell him, here I come, God. Lead me back to your presence. Lead me back to your anointing. Lead me back to your power.